This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parshas Chukas. Only two items this evening, but two gems, two absolutely fantastic ideas. The first idea is something I came across in the writings of the Shla. The Shla in Sefer Derech Chaim on the Bamidbar, just a fabulous, fabulous idea. The Parsha begins, in Parshas Chukas, of course, with the Parah Adumah. Zois Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Lemer, famous Parah Adumah. Pasuk Yud Beis in Perek Chof, I think it's actually Perek Yutes, says, Hu yischato boy, b'yoyim hashlishi v'yoyim hashvi yitor. That on day 3 and day 7, part of the purification process is that we sprinkle the ashes of the Parah Adumah, and that is Metaher, the person who became Tomei. It is Metaher, that person who was impure. Now, let's take a look at this shlok. It's a paragraph, it's the first box there. For those listening online, please email me at jdogolko@gmail.com and I'll happily send you the sheet. It says the shlok, Kvar omarti, besoid para aduma, ba'umka i'er shalamrit. We cannot penetrate the depths of this mitzvah of para aduma. Mikol mokum, mashe yochel ha'odol limsa ta'amim nechaylim yamtzi. Whatever I can try and give reasons for it, I will try and do that. Ki hakol emes, it's all true what I'm suggesting. Even though at the very depths of Parah Adumah, we're just scratching the surface. Hanogeh b'meis, hu yischato bo b'yamashlish v'yamashvi yitor. Day 3 and day 7 is the purification process. Yesh bozeh ha-posuk remez gol. There is a very interesting allusion in this posuk. Ki af bizman she'ein eifah parah. Even though at a time where there is no eifah parah nowadays, there's no purification process, there's no eifah parah, there's no Parah Adumah, there's no eifah. Yuchel adam letayes atzmo, a person is still able to use this purification process, kashedovak bahasmoda hatoira, through hasmoda learning Torah, the loy meidum lamed amanas lishma v'lasos lechaim, by learning, keeping, and living a Torah life. How so? Look at the next paragraph. This is remarkable. The kvar omru Chazal tell us in Sanhedrin. One day in the life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like 1,000 years. The idea is that the seven alludes to 6,000 years. We're now at the end of the 6th millennium. And the final one is where the world is destroyed, that there's a world of eternal Shabbos. Each of the 6 days of Maisim Bereishis, each of these 6 days, of the existence of the world, represents 1,000 years of this world. So the first day, the 6 days represents 6,000 years, and the seventh day represents the Yom Shekulei Shabbos. Now, Kamosha Erich was Ramban, in Bereishis, etc. Vihine. HaTorah nosna be'elef hashlishi. The Torah was given in the 3rd millennium, in the year 2448. Shehu yoyim hashlishi, which corresponds to the 3rd day of the Shivas Mei Bereishis. V'hamischatze be'yom hashlishi. Someone who becomes pure on day 3, kaloyma, shemischate u'metaharis atzma me'atorah ha'metenes be'yom hashlishi. He purifies himself with that which was given on day 3, i.e. the Torah, oz by Yom Hashvi Yitar, then he will have purification on day 7, which is La Osid Lavoi, Olam Haba. Ki oz Tigmar Taharos Olam Haba, Shoyom HaShabbos, then he will complete his purification process in the world to come, the Yom Shekul HaShabbos. V'imchas v'sholom lo yischato b'yom hashlishi. But if he doesn't engage in the day 3 purification process, learning Torah, b'hasmoda, etc., oz v'yom hashvi lo yitoher, then on day 7 he will not achieve that purity. Ki mi shetorach b'erev Shabbos yechol b'Shabbos. Someone who works hard on erev Shabbos will eat on Shabbos. So a beautiful, fabulous idea of the Shla, that the eifah parah is not just some sort of theoretical, interesting discussion of days gone by, of how a person used to be matai himself through the Eifah Parah. but it applies very much nowadays, that you have the 7 days of creation, 6 days plus Yom Shekule Shabbos, the first ever Shabbos, that is a remez, that hints at the 6,000 years plus the seventh millennium, which is Yom Shekule Shabbos. And therefore, the purification on day three is a hint at that which was given in the third millennium on day three, i.e. Torah, that a person engages in Torah, learns Torah b'hasmada, he can achieve that purification on day three, which will achieve the ultimate purification on day seven. Amazing, a beautiful idea. And I must say, earlier I went to shul and I saw a young man who I used to teach who had just come back from yeshiva. He's starting college and he's off to the base medrash this evening. He told me we just parted ways. But we're living in a very troubled world. And really the only anchor we have is that of Torah. Sort of the deluge of tumah that is being sort of thrown against us, the only anchor we have is that of Torah. And that is really what the Shlo is saying. When a person wants to retain some degree of Kedusha, of Tahara, the only purification process we have nowadays is learning and living Torah. Okay, let's move on. Let's go through one of the most famous pieces in the Torah, Mei Meriva, which appears in this week's parasha. Take a look, please, at Perek Chof. We'll go through some of the psukim, and then we'll explore an amazing Sefer HaIkrim, and we'll develop that idea a little bit further. Says the pasuk. This is the beginning of Perek Chof, paragraph 2 in the sheet. Vayeshev ha'am v'kodesh. The people dwelled in Kodesh. Va'tomos shom Miriam v'tikover shom. And Miriam ha'neviah died, and she is buried there. There wasn't water. Then they gathered against Moshe and Aaron. By Dab Hashem and Moshe Lemer, a few psukim later, Dab Kaches Hamate, take your staff. The Hakeles Vaedo Atov Aaron Achicha, gather the people. The Dibar Tem El Hasela, speak to the rock. Leinehem. The Noson Meimav, and it will give its water. Pasuk Yud. By Yom Elohem and Moshe Rabbeinu. Said to Klal Yisrael, Shimu no hamayrim. Listen, you rebellious crowd. Hamina sela hazen etzi lochem mayim. Can I bring forth water from this rock? Vayorem Moshe es yodah vayaches hasela. And Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. Vamateo pamayim twice. Vayetzu mayim rabim. And a lot of water came out. Vateshto edel biro. Next posuk. Vayoyma Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron. Ya'an lohe emantem bilag disheni leinir b'Yisrael. Because you did not have emunah in me to be make a kiddush Hashem. Therefore, you are going to suffer a very serious punishment. You will not bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem nasati lohem. Heima me meriva sherov b'nei Yisrael es Hashem v'yikodesh ba. That is me meriva. Well-known psukim. Now, there are many opinions as to what exactly was the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, it's illuminating that all the Mepharshim sort of grapple, what did he do wrong already? What exactly was the chait? Which, demonstrates that obviously it was a tiny, tiny, tiny fleck of wrongdoing. But because of the stature of Moshe and Aaron, they had a very grave punishment. The Rambam says, Shimu no hamayrim, that was the mistake. But the Sefer HaIkrim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, a Rishon, he wrote in the early 1400s, he died in 1444. He wrote a famous Sefer HaIkrim, where famously he presents that's Machshava, and he presents the three tenets of Jewish faith, namely Metzias Hashem, of Torah Min HaShemayim, and Schar V'Onesh. And he presents a very interesting insight into Mei Meriva. Let's take a look at some of what he says. The bottom box. Harbe Nevoicha Mepharshim B'Be'iru Chet Mei Meriva. A lot of people are very perplexed about the chait of Mei Meriva. Acharambam nitchak b'zev omash ha-chait hoya kas. The chait was Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. She-kas Moshe al-chinam al-Yisrael. He got angry on Klal Yisrael. O-mashe yireli b'zehu she-ha-chait b'mei Meriva. My view is, says the Sefer HaIkrim, al-she-lo-dibru el-ha-sela k'pshat ha-kosuf. That he did not speak to the rock as is the poshut pshat in the actual psukim. Now, I'm just quoting, of course, it's a longer piece, but I've just extracted the key points. The explanation is this. One of the central ideas of Torah and our fundamental of emunah is. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Teva, the natural world, and he makes it subordinate and subservient to the Ma'aminim, to those great tzaddikim in every generation. For example, Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, Sheniach Ragra al Chur Ha'orod, Venosh Ha'orod, the Mesa Orod, famous Gemara. More in Shabbos, I believe, the orod, the snake, there was like a little mound, an opening, and the orod was causing enormous damage, killing people. And Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa came along and he put his foot over the mound, and the orod, the snake, came and bit Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, and the snake died. Totally opposite to what the rules of nature would tell us. And he taught them the lesson that the snake doesn't kill, but the chait kills, the sin kills. They are in total control of teva. Famous Gemara, that when his daughter came and filled the candle with chometz, with vinegar, not with oil, he said, what's the problem? The vinegar can burn as well. And there are many, many examples of that. Now, let's turn to the next paragraph, top of the next page. And since Moshe and Aaron didn't do this, they had the opportunity to speak to a rock and to demonstrate total control over Teva. But instead, they ran to the Ohel Moed and they said, what shall we do? As if they're not sure what to do. And them not demonstrating control over nature, over Teva, was a chilul Hashem. And that causes a miut, a reduction of emunah in Torah and those who were watching this scene. And since what was involved was a chilul Hashem, lo nitin lekapara. That's not easy to get forgiveness for. Like the Gemara says in the end of Yuma, mi sheyesh biyado chilul Hashem, ein koyach b'tshuva nitlos v'lo b'yisurin lemarik. There's no, you can't do tshuva for it. And a misa mamarekes, the only thing that eventually rubs it away is misa. Val kein hayot gazar din sheyesh imo shvua. That's why there was a gezar din against Moshe Rabbeinu with a shvua. The tefillah and the tshuva of Moshe Rabbeinu did not help because it involved the chilul Hashem. Etc. Okay, so says the Sefer Ikrim, very interesting interpretation. The chait of Moshe Rabbeinu was his opportunity to demonstrate bilus, control, authority over Teva, over nature, but he decided against it for whatever reason, and that generated the chilul Hashem, because it suggested that perhaps tzaddikim do not have control over Teva, and therefore he was punished. Now, with that in mind, we can understand another aspect. We once spoke about this in a Shavua Shir some years ago, but let me just bring the main points, because I think it's a fabulously interesting area. There's a famous Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Peches on the base, often quoted around Shavuos time, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim, the Malachim protested. And famously they said, Mali Yudisha Beinenu, what's this human being doing here? And Kodesh Baruch Hu responded, Lekabel Torah Bo, he's come to get the Torah. And the Malachim said, the Torah, which predates the world, hidden away for 974 generations, it predates the world. You're giving it to a human being? How on earth can you give Torah to a human being? And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to give a tshuva, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Hachzan and tshuva, etc., etc. The question is, why were the Malachim resisting so much? Well, what is the problem? Why couldn't they give Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu? There'll be Torah in Shemayim, there'll be Torah down in this world. Torah is something which can be shared. Kiner mitzvah v'toira ur. Torah is compared to a light. If I take a candle and light a light, I'm not diminishing from the first light. I'm just sharing the light. That's what Torah is. If I'm learning Gittin in Beis Medrash in the morning with my boys, then there are other bottom midrashim which are learning Gittin as well. The fact that we're learning, it doesn't take away from someone else learning it. What's the problem? Why did the Malachim resist so much when Moshe Rabbeinu came to get the Torah? That's the big question. Now, another question. Famous Gemara in Chulin, and the truth is we could bring many other Gemaras, like the Sefer Ikrim just said. But let's go through this Gemara. Let's take a look at paragraph 2c, Gemara in Chulin, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, famous Gemara. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, have a ka'ozel le pigeon shvuyim. One time, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was on a journey of pigeon shvuyim to redeem a captive person, the person who was captured. Poga be ginoy nahara. On the way to redeem this hostage, this captured person, he encountered the river Ginoy. But he couldn't cross it. It's a deep, wide river, fast flowing. So he said, Omale Ginoy, chaleki me mecho ve'erebach. River Ginoy, split your water, stop flowing, and let me cross. So Omale, the river, responded to Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, Ato heilich lasis rusen kenecho, v'ani heilich lasis rusen koini. You're going to do the Rotzon Hashem, to do this pigeon shvuyim, and I'm also doing the Rotzon Hashem. I'm flowing. That's what Hashem instructed me to do. Ato sofik oise, sofik iat oise. You may or may not succeed. It's a sofik. Ani vadai oise. I'm definitely doing what I'm doing. So you're a sofik. I'm a vadai. I win. I'm not splitting. On Malay, so the Pinchas ben Yair said to the river, good svar, good londas, but imi ato chaylek, but if you don't split, I'm going to make a gzeira against you that you'll never flow again, ever. Cholakle, and the river splits. End of story. Famous Gemara in Chulin. The Aruch Haim in Parshas Beshalach asks a question. How is it that throughout the Gemara we encounter situations where Amiroim, Tanoim are splitting seas and doing miracles left, right, and center, and yet, when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron seemed to be unable to split the Yamsuf. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Egyptians were chasing after them and the raging sea was in front of them, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu just take the matter and split the sea and finished? They just crossed through. They were stuck. Why did it take Nachshon and Aminadav? Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't just split the sea himself? That's the famous Kasha of Aruch Haim. Aruch Haim answers as follows. Kriyas Yamsuf was pre-Matan Torah. And therefore, it is only through Torah that the tzaddikim of every generation have the ability to have total control and dominion over nature. So pre-Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to do it. Post-Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, and indeed the tzaddikim of every generation, have got this ability. And therefore, says the Aruch Haim, Ochein t'nai hu, it's the next paragraph. Bichlal atanoim shehisna Hashem kol ma'isa bereishis. There's like a tanai. There's a condition in ma'isa bereishis. Lios kafufim l'toira va'amoleha. That teva, that ma'isa bereishis will be subservient to Torah and to those who toil in Torah. The last is kol asher yigzru aleim, and they'll do whatever is decreed against them. Memshaltim aleim k'mesheles haboyer baruch hu. It's as if they have the control, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has control. Etc. Those yechidim, those great tzaddikim in every generation have got this control. And it's all through Torah. And therefore, the Aruch Haim continues and explains that that's what's going on over here. Pre-Matan Torah, Kriyas Yamsuf, they didn't have that ability. But post-Matan Torah, they're able to. And that's what the Malachim were resisting. They were resisting handing over the keys to Ma'isa Bereishis, to Moshe Rabbeinu, and to human beings. That's what they were resisting. It wasn't just a matter of sharing intellectual knowledge. It was handing over the keys to Ma'isa Bereishis, control over Teva. Now, the story is told, which I think brings this out very well. When, in Vilna, a well-known story, that there was a man who suffered from a very dangerous lung ailment in Vilna. And the doctor said that the only way he's going to survive is if he has an operation. And the only place to have this operation is in Vienna. So the fellow was planning to make this trip to Vienna to have this very serious operation. The night before he travels, he has a dream. And his father, who is no longer alive, comes to him in the dream and says, under no circumstances should he go to Vienna. So the fellow had the composure to ask his father and say, look, Daddy, if I don't go, then I'm a goner. I'm not going to survive here. The doctors have told me I've got to go to Vienna. It's a life-saving operation. So the father said he mustn't go. And I'll explain why. You see, what you have, the condition you have, is discussed in Yeridea, in Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah paskens that an animal who has this lung disease is trefa, and therefore it will not survive. However, the Shaigas Aryeh, who was the Rav in Vilna, he argued and says the animal is kosher. If you stay in Vilna, you will survive because you are protected by the psak of the Shaigas Aryeh. You leave Vilna, you go to the rest of Europe, that's the dominion of the Ramah. The Ramah says the animal's a trefa, you won't survive. Stay in Vilna. He stayed in Vilna and he survived. Because that story is just an example of tzaddikim having control. It's not pshat the Shaigas Aryeh paskan that it's mutter. He's creating a halachic reality for those people under his jurisdiction, the people of Vilna. And that explains the Gemara in Yevamos, an amazing Gemara. Take a look, please, at the last box. The Gemara in Yevamos, Kuf Chof Aleph Omed Aleph, says this, Tanya. Omer Rabbi Gamliel, Pamach HaSoyisi Mahalech B'Sfina. Once upon a time, I was going on a ship, and I was passing another ship, and the ship capsized. And I was very distressed because I saw a Talmud Chacham on that boat, and the ship went under. Who was that Talmud Chacham? Umanu, Rabbi Akiva. It was none other than Rabbi Akiva. And when I disembarked the ship and I got to dry land, Bob the Yoshev Adon Lefon Abahalacha. He came, so all of a sudden I was in the base of Medrash, and who appeared? None other than Rabbi Akiva. How did you survive? I witnessed your ship go under. I thought you were dead. Who brought you up? Amali, so he said to me, Daf shall sfina nizdamini. The ship capsized, the whole thing broke. I grabbed onto a daf, to a plank of the boat, v'cholgal v'gal shabwa alai nenesi l'reishi, and every wave that came my way, I managed to sort of hold myself against the daf, and I was able to survive. Just by the way, when Rav Meir Shapiro launched Daf Yomi at the famous Aguda convention back in the early 1920s, he quoted this Gemara, and he said that the daf will save us. Quoted this Gemara. He quoted Rabbi Akiva and he said, Daf shall sfinam nizdamini v'chol gal v'gal shabu alayim v'nesim reshi. Every wave that comes by, I'll just hold on to the daf. We hold on to the daf will save us. Anyway, the Gemara carries on. Mikan omru chachomim. I'm just jumping to the next line. It's mikan omru chachomim. Kama gedolim divra chachomim she omru. Mayim she yesh lohem soif muteres. Mayim she ein lohem soif asura. How great are the words of the chachomim? Who said it? That mayim sheyesh lohem soif muteres, etc. What does that mean? These blats in Yevamos, the end of Yevamos, deal with this, you know, the very sorry and sad story of the Aguna, that her husband goes missing in action. We don't know if he's survived, if he's alive, not alive, and therefore can the wife remarry? So what if a man drowns? We don't know if he somehow, you know, came up from the other side of the sea, of the lake. What's the story? So says the Gemara, this is the rule. Mayim sheyesh lohem soif muteres. If there is, imagine a lake, and you can see the entire perimeter of the lake. If the man goes under, there's mayim sheyesh lohem soif, there's a perimeter, there's a border, then muteres, the wife can get remarried. Because we were there, we saw the husband did not emerge, it must be that he died. And therefore, muteres, she can get remarried. However, mayim sheein lohem soif, if you cannot see the perimeters, the edges, the extremities of the water, then maybe the husband just emerged, imagine a sea, and they're further down the coast. You didn't see it. He's alive. Therefore, Asura, she cannot get remarried. The Klausenberger Rebbe said, pshat in this Gemara. It's not pshat that, wow, Rabbi Gamliel said, fantastic. Rabbi Kiva is a good example of what Chachom said, that Mayim sheyesh lohem soif muteres, Mayim sheyesh lohem soif, it was a sea. I didn't see the extremities of the coast, and therefore Asura. That's not what's going on over here. Rabbi Gamliel is saying, that's because the Chachomim decreed that Mayim She'en Lohem Sof Asura, that water, where you cannot see the boundaries, the husband could have survived, and therefore the wife is also to get remarried. That created a reality that Rabbi Akiva was able to survive. It's that way around. That because they paskened that, that created a reality that Rabbi Akiva was able to survive. Mayim She'en Lohem Sof Asura. The woman can't get remarried because maybe the husband survived. That created the ability to Rabbi Akiva to survive. Amazing. Finish with one story. Rabbi Akiva, the Klausenberger Rebbe. I heard this story from my Pinchas Roberts. Remarkable story. I may have said this again in this Shavuot Shir some years ago, but it's, it brings out this point better than words can possibly articulate. Many years ago, not the current Klausenberger Rebbe, but the previous Klausenberger Rebbe, you know, with all the various books, the war years, etc., one of the great heroes of the 20th century. He's based in Sanz in Netanya. And one time, it was Ben Azmanim, a Klausenberger Chosid, a Sanz Chosid, who was a bacher in the yeshiva there. He came home for Ben Azmanim. And he was a very scatty professor, Tzufleugen type of young man. And he was walking in his apartment building, and unfortunately they were doing very serious repairs in this apartment block, and they had removed the entire stairwell, and you had to use the fire exit. But this kid, this yeshiva bacha, who sons of chassid, he didn't notice that there was some tape up against the stairwell, and he just walked his head in the clouds. He walked, and nebuch, he walked into the stairwell. There was a sheer drop of many floors. And Nachman al-Islam, he fell and he had devastating injuries. And the prognosis was so bad that they said, the doctor said it was unlikely he would survive. And even if he would survive, he wouldn't be able to walk again. And you can imagine the parents, Nebuch, distraught. They're rushing to hospital, and for the first opportunity, they go and visit the Rebbe, Shadavim, for their son. And they described to the Rebbe the terrible injuries that he had had. And the Rebbe, normally in those situations, he listened. He would say a capital to Hillim. He would put some money in stock and wish them a refuah shleima. But this time he didn't do that. He listened and he was asking more questions about the injuries. He wanted to see the doctor reports. And then he told his gabba he needs some time alone. He locked his office, and the gabba thought this is very unusual. He never normally does this. He was looking through. He saw he was pulling off svarim from the shelves. He was learning. He was looking. A few hours later, he came out and he said to the gabba, bring back the parents, please. Parents came back. He then did his normal procedure. He said a capital to him. He put some money in stock and he wished him a refuah shleima. Some days, a few weeks or whatever later, Baruch Hashem, this fellow, this young man, slowly made a recovery. And eventually he sort of got out of bed and started walking. Miraculous recovery. The gabbai went back to the Rebbe. And he said to Kazmer, what was going on? So the Rebbe said, when the parents came and told me about this injury, I knew that the Yerushalayim deal with this case in Yeridea. Again, a similar sort of cases before. They were discussing whether or not this an animal who has these injuries is rendered treifa. I decided to write a tshuva on it. The previous Klausenberger Rebbe has got tshuvas. I think it's called Divrei Yatzin. I've got the sefer here at home. And he wrote a tshuva. And he came to the conclusion that this particular injury is kosher. It would not render him treifa. And therefore, because the Klausenberger Rebbe paskened that it was kosher, that created the halachic reality that his chassid, who was under his jurisdiction, was able to survive. And that's really what's going on over here. So that's what's going on. But that's why the Malachim resisted so much to give Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, because they're giving him the keys to Teva, the keys to creation. And that's why at Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to just split the sea, because it was pre-Matan Torah. It's only through the Zuchus of Torah, as the Aruch Chaim says. It's a special gift to Torah va'amoleha on those who toil in Torah. But Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoy, and many other Tanoim and Amoraim are able to perform miracles because that's post-Matan Torah. It's in the Zuchus and the Koyach of the Torah. And that's really what the Sefer HaYikrim is saying. The Sefer HaYikrim says that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was punished so severely at Meimariva was because he had the opportunity to show Klal Yisrael that Teva is subservient to Torah and to those Yechidei Segula, those great individuals of every generation who represent Torah and control over Teva. And the resistance of Moshe Rabbeinu from doing it, for whatever reason, was therefore punished very severely. But the Chilul Hashem was the opportunity to demonstrate control over Teva and not doing so. So a fabulously interesting Sefer Ikrim, some two very interesting ideas from Parshas Chukas. Thank you very much for joining, and I wish you a good evening and a very good Shabbos.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.